السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. In the last lesson we discussed disputes caused by the mother-in-law. Now we discuss disputes caused by the sisters-in-law. When a man marries, his sister begins to find life difficult because she is not as free as she always was in her home. She dreads touching or doing anything for fear that it should upset her sister-in-law. As a result, she begins to abhor the new bride, making things difficult for the poor woman. She then leaves no stone unturned to search for her sister-in-law's faults and to stir trouble between her brother and his wife, and between her mother and her sister-in-law. Now this is generally the situation when the sister-in-law is younger and she is living in the same home. Because prior to the daughter-in-law coming, the sister-in-law, who is now the daughter of that house, she had everything going for her. She would decide what must be cooked, she would decide where the flower pot must be, what color new curtains must be put. Everything was her choice. Over and above that, she had a very strong bond with her brother, because the brother was maybe 22, 23 years old. The sister is maybe 16, 17, 18 years old. So if the brother wants a cup of coffee, the sister is there to make it for him. And if the sister needs to go into town to get something, then the brother is there to take her. So they had a good partnership going until this new bride has now pitched up. Now when this new bride has pitched up, this little sister has lost her brother, number one. Number two, in the initial days, all the attention is now focused on this new bride. So the spotlight has shifted from the sister, from this girl now, who is the daughter of the house. It has shifted from her and it has now moved on to the daughter-in-law, which results in a lot of jealousy, a lot of hatred. So this daughter now, she uses whatever leverage she has to try and create friction between her sister-in-law, who is the new bride, and her mother, and also the new bride and her brother, who is the husband of the new bride. The situation is a little bit different when the sisters-in-law are elder and they have left the house, they are gone out of the house, they may be married, they got their children, they're carrying on with their lives, so there's no day-to-day problem with them. However, when they do come to visit, whether it is for Eid or whether it is over a long weekend or during a school holiday, they come with their children, etc., to come and have a holiday at their parents' home, then they come in with a vengeance, because they want to now prove to this daughter-in-law that, look, you are just the daughter-in-law, we are the daughters of this home. And they want to now assert their authority and show their weight. And naturally, the mother-in-law is going to show them more affection, not because she doesn't love her daughter-in-law, but because the daughter-in-law is there with her every day. These daughters of hers have now come home, maybe after 4 months, 5 months, so she's going to give more attention to them. The daughter-in-law then feels jilted, and now you find the tamasha between the daughter-in-law and the sisters-in-law. Then in 9 out of 10 cases, the sisters-in-law, they will gang up together because they are all sisters. They've got a stronger bond, and then this daughter-in-law, who is the sister-in-law, she is left on one side. So these are just a few things that create the problems between the daughter-in-law and the sisters-in-law. Now we move on to disputes caused by the daughter-in-law. We all have our faults. It's not only the mother-in-law who is the witch, or it is not the sisters-in-law who are the demons. The daughter-in-law herself, she comes with her whole package of weaknesses which now contribute to the dispute. A daughter-in-law is generally naive and inexperienced. She is young, she just got married, she doesn't have any experience in life. So she is young and naive. She fails to realize how trivial matters can spiral into a furor and fails to value the benefits of remaining silent. And I think that this is one of the most common major weaknesses of women. They just don't know when to keep quiet. They don't know when to just call it a day and zip it, remain silent. They have to keep on talking, keep on proving a point. She wants her husband to instantly become her slave and cannot tolerate taking instructions from her mother and sisters-in-law. Now this wife, this daughter-in-law, she needs to realize that for the past 20-25 years, this man who has now become her husband was very close to his mother, very close to his sisters, and he's not now going to just turn his back on all of them. He was used to sitting with them at night, talking, joking. So now a little bit of that will still carry on. She needs to be patient, right? The other thing she needs to realize is that her mother-in-law is the mother of this home. If she's got a big sister-in-law, the big sister-in-law is the big sister of the house. And at times, just as in her house, her mother would instruct her to do things, her big sister would instruct her to do things, the same will carry on in this house. She had been indoctrinated with the belief that her mother-in-law will be policing her every action and monitoring her every move. She feels that just as she has entered the home as a daughter-in-law, her mother-in-law was also a daughter-in-law one day. So now she thinks she's on the same stage as her mother-in-law. Both of them are daughters-in-law, because the mother-in-law also came as a daughter-in-law one day. Today she has come as a daughter-in-law. So both are on the same stage, and now she wants to try and wield as much authority as her mother-in-law in the same house. What she fails to realize is her mother-in-law has got maybe a 25-30 year head start on her, number one. Number two, she is now the mother of this home. She is the mother of this home, and she will have to be respected as the mother of the house. She tells herself that she is not a slave, and that she will tell her mother-in-law a mouthful if the lady tells her anything. Her friends have by then brainwashed her into thinking that if she once bows to the sway of her mother-in-law, she will always be oppressed. The first impression is the lasting impression, they told her. She will therefore never tolerate being an underling. Now this is the misconception that we have. When the girl comes into the house, before she can even move into that house, she already regards her mother-in-law as enemy number one. She already knows that I'm in a boxing ring with my mother-in-law. So how is that relationship going to prosper in any way? Of course, there may be several other causes, and these may vary from situation to situation, but I am convinced that the causes mentioned above are really responsible for creating baseless suspicions and ill feelings between daughter and mother-in-law. These well up within their hearts, and when they become impossible to contain, they burst forth like a raging volcano. Mother and daughter-in-law are then at loggerheads and are continuously fighting, providing free entertainment for neighbors and relatives. If both the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law realize their positions and reflect upon these causes, which are really fueled by being naive, selfish, and intolerant, they will be able to overcome the situation. They should educate themselves in Islam and develop a sound understanding of Deen, which will go a long way to eradicate all problems. Now, they are sharing a few advices on how a mother-in-law should think. First, they give us how a mother-in-law contributes to the disputes. Now, they're explaining to us what a mother-in-law's mindset should be in order to create harmony, in order for the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law to have a harmonious relationship. A mother-in-law should always bear in mind that her daughter-in-law is also a human being with aspirations and feelings. She has made the supreme sacrifice of leaving her parents' home to be with her husband forever. The mother-in-law should therefore treat her daughter-in-law like her very own daughter. She should be gentle with her and think that if she behaves harshly towards her, the poor girl will have no one to turn to because she has left her family behind. She is not a slave, and her husband owes her many rights which have been ordained by Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a very important point for a mother-in-law to bear in mind, that if she is going to come between her son and his bride, she is then going to be an obstruction for him to fulfill his wife's rights. And if he doesn't fulfill his wife's rights, he is answerable to Allah Pak, he will be punished in the hereafter. So does the mother want her son to be guilty of neglecting his own wife's rights and then being punished in the hereafter? Just as the mother-in-law was once also a daughter-in-law, she should not forget that her daughter-in-law also enjoys the things that she once enjoyed. Just like any young couple, they want to go out, they want to take a drive, they want to go for a picnic, they want to go somewhere with their friends. Just like how the mother-in-law, when she was young, she wanted to do those things. Now why does she want to be so strict on her son and the daughter-in-law? She should treat her daughter-in-law as she wanted her mother-in-law to treat her. She must not treat her daughter-in-law how her mother-in-law treated her if her mother-in-law was oppressing her. Why must the oppression continue? If her mother-in-law didn't treat her well, why must she then ill-treat her daughter-in-law? Why must we continue with the vicious cycle? She must think back how hurt she felt when her mother-in-law ill-treated her. And now she must try to be a role model mother-in-law. She must try to be a mother-in-law that every daughter-in-law will make dua to have a mother-in-law like her. While the mother-in-law has already enjoyed good times in her life, she should now give her daughter-in-law the chance. When the mother-in-law harasses her daughter-in-law and behaves sternly with her, she should bear in mind that this behavior is futile because the daughter-in-law cannot run away and will continue living there. All that will be achieved is that others will have free entertainment and will have ample gossip to keep them busy. In addition to this, the honor of the family will be dragged through the mud. The other thing is, by the mother-in-law behaving in a monstrous way, she is going to make life very difficult for her own son. Because in order for the bride, this daughter-in-law, the new wife, to keep her husband happy, she herself needs to be happy first. Now, if she is in an environment where she's always treading on eggshells, she is unhappy, she is oppressed, she is feeling depressed, she is spoken to in a bad way, in a harsh way, then when her husband comes home, when they go into the room, she's going to be crying, she's going to be complaining. So there's not going to be any happiness in her own son's life. Whereas if she sees to it that her daughter-in-law is comfortable, her daughter-in-law grows and flourishes in that home like a new flower, she is allowed to bloom into the flower that she is going to become, then she will be able to keep her husband happy. So the mother will see her son happy because the son's wife is keeping the son happy. Every mother-in-law should therefore be as accommodating as possible. She should forgive and forget her daughter-in-law's errors, knowing that she is not doing them purposely, but because she is still inexperienced and naive. In all probability, the mother-in-law also made the same mistakes when she was a young daughter-in-law. When she adopts this attitude, life will become pleasant for both mother and daughter-in-law. A mother-in-law should bear in mind that she may not expect her daughter-in-law to do everything in the house. When her son got married, her son didn't bring home a slave. That now the mother-in-law is retired and the daughter-in-law must just do everything. The mother-in-law will also have to assist. She will also have to do her share. The daughter-in-law should never think that when her mother-in-law first met her to choose her as a wife for her son, she was extremely sweet and pleasant. However, her charms seem to have disappeared after her son's marriage. This perception must never be created in the daughter-in-law's mind. That when the, and this is hakikat, it's reality. When the boy's family go to propose for a girl, in many a time, the girl's mother will tell the boy's mother, you know what, my daughter is still young, she doesn't know as yet how to cook, she's still learning about budgeting, there's many things we're still trying to teach her. At that time, the boy's mother will tell the girl's mother, what are you worried about? What fikr do you have? She is just going from one home to another home. She will be like our daughter. We will teach her everything. However, after the nikah takes place, and now when this girl goes to the new home and she doesn't know how to cook, or she makes some mistake in the kitchen, or she uses extra oil or whatever, then the mother-in-law comes down on her like a ton of bricks. Then what happened to all that story that, no, don't worry, if she doesn't know how to cook, she doesn't know how to bake, she doesn't know how to sew, she doesn't know how to budget, don't worry, we will teach her. What happened to all of that? I personally feel that it is best for the mother-in-law to hand over all the affairs of the home to her daughter-in-law and occupy herself with ibadah, taking care not to heed the instigations of her other daughters-in-law. If her daughter-in-law makes serious mistakes, she should be corrected with affection and forbearance. She should not be reprimanded for every little error, as is done with one's own children. Your own child, you can reprimand all the time, no problem. But your daughter-in-law, you got to watch and play. You got to tread with caution, because she is not a daughter, she is a daughter-in-law. So not to say that the mother-in-law must just hand over everything to the daughter-in-law and just leave her to fend for herself. No, that's not what is meant. What is meant is that give the reins in her hand, but be there on the side to guide her. Be there on the side to guide her. It's like when a person goes to a driving school to learn how to drive. So the learner is given the car keys, the learner sits on the driver's seat, and the learner now is given the opportunity to drive. However, the instructor also sits in the car, and the instructor will tell the learner where to turn, that slow down now, you're going a little bit too fast. But it's done with wisdom, with affection, in a nice way, with kindness, in order to teach not to insult and shout and take off. So in the same way, the mother-in-law must now hand the reins over to the daughter-in-law, but be there on the side to keep on guiding with hikmat, with affection and forbearance. If these things are done, if all these factors are considered, then this home will be like Jannah for one and all. We'll stop here for today, and inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue with what the mindset of the daughter-in-law should be. Allah Paak give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.